Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Yeah, I asked Scott to stay for a little bit, break it down. I wanted to, you know, we hit a lot of domestic stuff there. Anything going on with the European Union that's new or different?
Well, December 5th is the date for the next wave of Greek bailout payment. It looks like that's going to be on track, and if they receive that, I think the markets will be happy about it. But even European markets are paying such close attention to the fiscal cliff that's really everything right now.
So all eyes turn to Washington.
Yep.
Well, I had somebody the other day I was talking to about this, and they said, well, why is everybody so tuned into this, and especially the international community? And the thing that's easy to forget, because we've been focused so much on Europe and of course, also on China, and it was in the news again with still having some troubles. The thing that is easy to forget is that we've got $16 trillion economy.
Right.
And that you start looking down the list from what's the next largest one? Well, it's the European Union if you take the whole thing together. And then you got to go down to China, but you know, after, and depending on whether you properly value the, what is it called, the yuan?
Yeah.
Whether you properly value that or not on the size of their currency, but very quickly you get down into countries. Japan's what, 5-6 trillion?
Yeah.
And then after that, you're down in the ones and twos.
Yeah, not to mention that we're the major trade partner for all of them, import and export. So as we go, you know, they definitely have to pay very close attention to that.
Well, I think there's only a total, I'll have to go find my little cheat sheet, but I think there's about 20 countries that are over the trillion mark. So think about around the world, how many countries are in the world? You know, a couple hundred?
Yeah.
180 or whatever it is. Out of all of those, only 20 are over $1 trillion in GDP, gross domestic product. So 16 trillion, we still are the big gorilla or whatever in the room.
Yeah, and from a more focused perspective, the New York Stock Exchange is still the global stock market. So as our stock market goes, we have more of an impact on overseas markets than vice versa.
And despite some of the concerns, the dollar is still the main thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Real quick around the world, Brazil year to date, they actually fell into negative territory. You know anything going on with Brazil? They're still trying to work through some.
I mean, they're building a lot of infrastructure for upcoming Olympics, which has given them some jobs. But it's also, you know, it's a pretty significant expense. And those Olympics they seem like they're either boom or bust, depending on whether you're Montreal or Beijing.
Spain's still down about 8% year to date. Could be a lot worse.
Yeah,
you know?
Real volatile in Spain. It's, you know, they change a point and a half. 2 points almost every day.
Not much going on, though. We haven't heard much about their equivalent of their 10-year treasuries.
Yeah, it's been creeping down a little bit. So they're in a relatively safe range. But again, that it can move so quickly.
But you're not suggesting that we go load up in our portfolios on Spanish debt?
No. That is a Spanish debt purchase is a play for a big boy.
Who can put just part of their money into
right, like
it.
A JP Morgan or an SAC Capital or somebody like
who
that.
Who has billions of dollars.
Right.
I saw something the other day, speaking of JP Morgan, that they were like, had $650-700 billion in like total assets.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah. And Jamie Dimon being rumored now as the next Treasury Secretary.
Is that right?
Yeah, we'll see.
Diamond in the rough, so to speak.
Yeah, we'll see. I think he's the best executive on Wall Street. So
I write my own material, unfortunately. And then China, off 9.5% year to date.
Yeah, they're doing some very strange things there. They've changed it's even like subtle weird things. Like they changed the map on their passport now to show part of the Philippines as China. And Philippines was like, whoa, 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 that's not yours. And China's like, yeah, yes, it is. So now people aren't stamping. They're putting different maps in the passports. And they just seem to like to
with the Philippines, or are you talking about Taiwan?
No, with the Philippines and Taiwan.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
part of Thailand. It's a whole mess.
Oh, boy. You know, I mean, it's almost like, you know, things are too quiet. Let's stir it up.
It's exactly right. Nobody can figure out why they did it, but they did it. And it seemed to be a pretty deliberate thing.
All right. So we talked about the world economy. We talked about China. Yeah, it's at its lowest, closed at its lowest level in 4 years, slipping below a key psychological level.
Yeah, but the economic reports out of China are showing slowing at a slower pace.
That sounds like our real estate, which I think we did hit a soft spot. But the U.S. housing market overall, Wall Street Journal had an article just out, Scott, talking about the housing, which has been what pushed the economy into a recession for the last 5 years, or 5 years ago, I should say, has been a drag on now. It was a drag on the recovery. Now it's one of the key economic drivers. And as we talked about on the show recently, I'm looking in the paper and I'm seeing more and more realtors being hired.
Yeah, Case-Shiller number from Tuesday, which is the 20-city index price number, was a good number. And home builders have been one of the hotter sectors since the summer.
All right, I got to ask you this. This is on my list of things I wanted to ask you about. You're a reasonable guy, so you tell me why this is. A judge recently ordered tobacco firms to say that their product warnings and ads had been deceiving to the public, and that basically they have to have all their advertising say, hey, we lied. That's like the new thing now, is a judge is saying, you've got to say you deceived everybody. So here's my question to you. I know Scott's shaking his head. Why can't we simply, and this from an investment standpoint, my question comes, we know that smoking kills more people every year than suicide, heart attacks, strokes, all these other things combined. And even secondhand smoke is killing thousands of people. Why can't we simply outlaw it or do something? I mean,
that sounds like removing somebody's
choice.
Rights. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, but.
All right. I know it's a slippery slope, but good grief. Well, especially now that our government is going to pay for healthcare.
Yeah.
Or forced healthcare and all this, you know, where our medicine becomes more socialized.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult line to draw between tobacco and alcohol and marijuana. You know, I'm not sure how you really differentiate which one of those is bad and which is not bad.
And then go from there, you go to the Big Mac, the Big Fry.
Right.
Got to have the shake, too.
Yeah, but you can't take people's right away to make a choice like that, even if it's a damaging
deadly choice. Okay. I just keep, it's like, how far are they going to go with these rulings that we'll get to a point where I can see them, especially with technology, where you hold the pack of cigarettes in your hand and then a video screen pops up and says, this is going to kill you.
Yeah.
Well, but I guess to follow your argument, though, you could put the same thing on a bottle of whiskey or
yeah, sure.
on the Big Mac. Eat this and it'll kill you. Yeah. All right. Not funny. All right.
Well, I mean, you know, the interesting thing to me about that argument is that those are the warnings that the government told them to put on there in the first place.
Exactly.
But they're inadequate? I don't know.
All right. Well, maybe just shorten it to, this will kill you if you do it. But we'll take a quick break. We won't kill you with that. We'll be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back. Scott stayed a little longer. Scott, I don't know if I have anything else for you. Let me take a quick look. Oh, anything going on with mergers and acquisitions? We're still in a very low interest rate environment. I've noticed a few strategic purchases, but
yeah,
other than that,
been a little bit of consolidation in healthcare recently, and actually Wednesday, late announcement that NCR National Cash Register was making a pretty big purchase there, but I don't have all the details on it quite yet.
Okay, and anything, just before I let you go, anything else about how you're positioning our portfolios? You know, I know that across the board, from conservative to our most aggressive, we've done very well year to date. Anything you're seeing that you're looking at making any major shifts?
Well, I'll tell you, it's actually a good question, given that we're almost in December now. It's a tricky time to trade portfolios because, you know, we try to stay diversified, so we use exchange-traded funds and mutual funds. Exchange-traded funds are no problem, but mutual funds, at the end of the year, have to do a distribution of their capital gains and their dividends. They have to. It's the law. So I'm always very, very, very reluctant to take a new mutual fund position this time of the year, because what happens is you buy a position and then all of a sudden they do a distribution and you have to pay the tax on it.
Well, you don't, but when you say get the tape, they make the distribution. They don't actually make a distribution of the money. They say, here's your share of the taxes.
Well, you get the cash distribution, the capital gains and the dividend, but you have to pay tax on it.
But you've purchased it. It was built up into the share price.
Right. So okay. You're basically paying a year's worth of capital gains for a position that you've only had maybe for a week or two. So I do not like to take new mutual fund positions at this time of year. And what I'll do a lot of times, if I need to get out of something, is I'll get out of a mutual fund, for example, and put it into an exchange-traded fund as a holding period.
That kind of mirrors the...
Yeah, until the distributions are done, and then I'll move from the exchange-traded fund, which doesn't have a holding period or anything like that, into the mutual fund after the distribution.
So between now and the year, you're looking then to ease in and maybe use some of these exchange traded funds and then go into the funds in the new year.
If for some reason we need to make a change. But right now we're fully allocated and fully invested and I like our positioning and so I don't expect to do anything for the remainder.
And not a lot of not heavy in cash except for our most conservative.
Yeah, we're basically on target for cash everywhere.
Okay, good. All right, Scott, I'll let you go and I'll wrap up with a few things myself here I want to get to. Real quick, I've been promising to do this. Holland Financial is a part of the chamber and so we want to welcome Orman Chamber, that is. I want to welcome several new members, and I'll do this quickly. Village Goldsmith Jewelry, the Continental Group, Healing Touch Massage, local internet marketing experts, Heartland Payment Services, Virtual Creative Group, Real Estate Mortgage Network, Atlas Web Company, Racetrack Petroleum, Needham Ellen Realty Pros Assured, Eddie Mike Adams Cameron Company, Belltone Hearing Aids, and Go Profit. And last but not least, the Weller team, Debbie Weller and Illustrated Properties, she joined recently, and they are actually, little news release for you, ladies and gentlemen, they are actually occupying part of our space, Holland Financial. We've got the whole floor at our building, and so we had some extra space kind of down in the corner, and they asked to take advantage of that space, and I said, sure. So for our clients, of course, it's convenient to have a realtor in the office who can help with real estate decisions. And so I wanted to mention that we're welcoming them, of course. Illustrated Properties is not as well known locally, but they are huge in South Florida. I heard the other day they have something like 500 agents. So they're big, and they're opening up an office also in Orlando. All right, a couple of things I wanted to get to you. This is a new one. Listen to this. I had a couple come in recently, and you know, I often talk about cautioning you on scams and frauds and all this. Get this one, okay? And one of the things I share with you is I say there are three safe places for your money: the bank or credit union, insurance company, or an investment account like a Fidelity or Ameritrade or somebody like that. And so those are the three safe havens where it's harder for the scammers and the fraudsters to get to you. But I'm going to now have to amend that a little bit, because the person that came in and talked to me, they were interested in our services, and we were talking about what we could do to help them, and they just relocated to the area, and they wanted to know if we could help them manage their money, which of course I talked about how we could do that. But in the conversation, they explained that they had been the victim of a scam, a fraud, and how it was done was the money was actually, they were in one of those safe places, and they didn't lose their identity or anything like that, where somebody stole their identity and sucked money out of the account. But what happened was that the company that they were working with, who wasn't holding the money, it was being held by one of these big custodians like the ones I mentioned earlier, they actually were sold these partnerships, and they were real estate partnerships or investment partnerships. And even though they were quote unquote being held, the certificates or the ownership was being held in their account at the brokerage firm, they were still fraudulent. So I have to raise the threat level to orange, okay? I've got to raise the threat level on these frauds, that now you've also got to pay attention to what's being invested in your account. It's not enough to have an advisor. And now, of course, who you select as an advisor, reputable, experienced, credentialed, all that stuff still applies and it's still important. But now you also need to look or be careful about what's being recommended for you. Stay away from or apply extra scrutiny to anything that is partnerships, any type of real estate type of fund, REITs, real estate investment trusts, anything that's a partnership or a trust that's being held inside of your account. So if it's not a publicly traded stock, if it's not a publicly traded bond, if it's not a publicly traded mutual fund, or as Scott talked about earlier, an exchange traded fund, be very, very wary. And I know that sounds maybe a little hypersensitive, but better safe than sorry, as they say. And, you know, looking back for this particular person I talked to, had they said to the, and again, hindsight's 20/20, but had they said, look, let me look at what you're recommending or what you're buying for me in my account. Because when you hire somebody to manage your money, you expect them to pick stuff that's good for you. Well, be on the lookout for anything that is atypical. You know what I have found? I have found that managing money, and our portfolios are doing well. I'm very happy with what Scott's doing for us in managing money for our clients. That's why I have him here as a chartered financial analyst. We do just fine. In fact, we're doing better than fine this year using no-load funds, exchange-traded funds, and a few individual stocks for some of our more aggressive portfolios. That's it. Nothing exotic, nothing extra spicy, nothing where I've had to go climbing through the rainforest to find on the top of some stone enclosed cavern like in Raiders of the Lost Ark. You don't have to do that. There's lots of good stuff right down the middle of the road that you can use and do well with. You just have to make sure that either you know what you're doing or the person that's managing the money knows what they're doing. So that's a new thing that I saw today here recently with somebody I talked to. So I've got one more break to get in, Lisa. Lisa says yes. Quick break. Back with a few more things that I think you'll find very interesting. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
I'm back, and let me just wrap up. This is interesting. I had this another real-life example. I'm flipping through my book because if you haven't seen the book, it's Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to Secure Retirement, available on my website, and we also are happy to give a book out when we meet with people in my office. I'm looking for an example I have in the book. I'll go ahead and describe the situation, and I'll keep flipping here, but I had a lady come in the other day, and she has money she inherited from her parents, and she said, okay, my husband and I, we have our money. This is money I inherited. I'd like you to tell me what I should do with it. And so I, of course, do what I always do. I said, well, let's talk about you. Let's talk about what you're concerned about. What are your goals for this money? What do you want to accomplish? All the things you would expect me to ask. And what she told me is, look, this money is money I inherited. It's not really like the other money we have. It's different because I inherited it. And so it's kind of, well, it's kind of special. I know how hard my parents saved this money and how the sacrifices they made, and they, you know, were very careful. And so I just don't want to put this money at risk. So I opened up the book. I said, well, let me explain to you the different types of investments that are out there. So it reminded me that it would be good for me to do this because we haven't done it in a while. When you look at investments, there are really two categories of investments. One is what I would call the at-risk money and the not-at-risk money. And every investment pretty much can be put into that category. Your at-risk would include a lot of the things that we talk about with regard to investing. That would include stocks, common stocks, preferred stocks. That would include mutual funds that are investing in stocks and bonds. It would also include fixed income type investments. So when I talk about a bond or a commercial paper or a real estate investment trust, a REIT, which some people say is an equity, and technically it probably is, but a lot of people look at it as an income type of product. So it would be also an at-risk. All of those things are at risk. And variable annuities, which have been in the press lately, because there's some companies trying to reduce their risk with those, some of the insurance companies. But the bottom line is all of those things I just described, they're all securities. And as such, they are at risk of going down. And then you have a range or several different types of what are called safer money. Fixed annuities, CDs, cash, money market. Those are your safe things. Bonds are not in that category because unless you hold them in maturity, you don't get your face value back. So when I was talking with her, I said, well, tell me what you're really trying to accomplish. And she said, I just cannot lose money. I can't. With other money, I can, but not this money. So for her, I very quickly realized, and this helped, I think, a lot, that she seemed to be thinking of there was this whole world of choices for her. But in reality, for her, because of what she wanted, not wanting to lose anything because of where this money came from, we very quickly looked at, okay, here are your choices, a fixed annuity that can give you income or just have it accumulate and defer taxes, or you can do a CD, or you can do cash or do money market. So you've always got to look at what are you really trying to accomplish. And whoever you meet with, if you're going to seek out advice, they can help you narrow this down to the right type of product or service for you. Now, if she had said, I want a lot of risk, or I want something that's going to grow, I don't care if it goes up and down, that opens up a whole other world of choices. So you got to make sure you're clear about what it is you want to accomplish with your money. All right, Lisa, I'm out of time, aren't I? I'm over. She's telling me I'm over. All right. Be sure to join us next time. Thanks for being with us.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.